Well, good morning. Good morning. This is bizarre, isn't it? Are these two rows mined or something? Is that the problem? Is there a booby trap underneath? You're terrible, you lot. Okay. Find you in the cinema. I bet you don't. Or yeah, you probably do. Also at the back. You can spot the Baptists in the cinema. They're all at the back. Okay. Welcome this morning. We're here to worship God. Thank you for coming. Whenever you make a decision to set time aside for God, you know what? You put a huge smile on your father's face, because no parent loves it more than when his children say, I want to spend time with you, Dad. And that's what you're doing this morning. So thank you for coming and for just honouring your Heavenly Father and spending some time with him together as a family. We're going to begin with some words from a song. But let me read from Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. We'll be doing that this morning at communion. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Shall we stand together and let's worship? Of your people. We worship you for who you are and for what you've done. We remember this morning your gift of your Son, given for us, broken for us, that we might be made whole, poured out that we might be full. Lord, we want to thank you for your Son and for all he's done for us. As we remember him this morning, accept our worship and our thanks. Let's sing together. Here is love.
Shed for us his precious blood. Who is God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Like mighty river poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love.
Amen. Please be seated for a moment. And I want to ask you a question just as we just before we come to communion. We're going to do it a little bit differently. We'll explain that in a moment. But what I thought I'd do this morning is, I did this with my other congregations actually, is I took a little shot of them. Believe it or not. Hang on. Video. This is where, can I work my own camera? Here we go. Now, isn't it great when you've got all these sort of reminders of people? And I thought I'll do this at the front end of my ministry here rather than the back end. And see how many of you are still here at the end. No. here we go. Right, so as I pan across, I just want you to wave, all right? Just wave at me as the camera comes to you. This is a live video. Here we go. Here we go. Ready? Hang on. Hang on. Wait for it, you lot. Wait for it. Okay, off you go. Oh, there we go. Wonderful. It's coming your way. It's a bit like a Mexican wave, really. Look at you all. Oh, word. Very photogenic. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, marvellous. Bless you. Godston Baptist Church. There you go. Great. I'll keep that. I'll download that. Isn't it great when you've got memories, things that remind you, that are pictures for you, that bring back all sorts of thoughts and feelings? And on the screen here is some of mine. I did a little bit of digging around. And it's great to remember, because you find all sorts of things out when you remember. Here's one. Guess who that is? First thing you remember is how you've changed, don't you? And that was me aged probably about 4 on the left. And that was me when I had to take a photo for my bank interview. I was 18 in the middle there. Look at those glasses. It looked like I'm wearing goggles. It was really quite going scuba diving. And that was me as a handsome young 20-something. Look at that, what a cool dude. There you go. But doesn't it, and now look at me, my word, what's happened? But isn't it great? Yeah, don't laugh. You're supposed to say, no, Phil. It's not very pastoral, is it? Right, but isn't it amazing how we change? How we change over time. And it's good to look back because we can see how we change. And we remember. Here's an interesting shot. This was me when I was about 18 then. And those are the two guys who taught me how to play the drums. That's Ron and John, both of whom like Jimi Hendrix, a lot of Jimi Hendrix. They had a Les Paul custom guitars and all this sort of stuff, and they loved all that sort of stuff. But they're the guys who encouraged me to learn to play the drums, and I remember them with affection and how we used to meet every Monday night and make a right racket, quite frankly. But it was great fun. A couple of old rockers and a very young one. Here's another thing you remember, particularly with photos and things. They're old friends, don't you? And there's some of me with some of my best friends. There's Pete in the black T-shirt on the boat there, who I lived with for a while, a great guy. And down on the bottom, I was probably about 13 there, I think. And that's Matt, who is my cousin, who's also my best mate and a really good guy. And we got up to all sorts of things. When I look at that, I remember all the daft stuff we did. And it was great just to remember some of those faces and some of those people and the feelings that you get from that. Here's some remembering some significant moments in my life. Here's some big ones. That was my baptism. I was 14. That was the moment I said publicly, I'm going to follow Jesus. That was a big moment for me and made a big difference for me for the future. And then, of course, there's another big moment where I said not just yes to God. Then I said, will you, to the wife? And she said yes. And that was a relief. With God, you know he's going to say yes. With the wife, you're never quite sure, are you? At that crucial moment, will you? Yes, I will. And she did. And there we are, getting married, young couple. And then another moment of yes, when I finished my training at Spurgeon's and I was trying to grow a beard there. It wasn't really working, as you can tell. But that was me. Another yes when God said, okay, off you go. Get out there. Go and serve me. So that was a really encouraging moment. So photos are great, aren't they? Because you remember. Go home and leaf through some photo albums. You can spend hours doing it. It's great fun. We did it with Chloe's boyfriend the other week just to embarrass her. It was really great fun, and I can thoroughly recommend it. So we remember, don't we? We remember those significant moments in our lives. We remember how we've changed. Photos can do all that for you. And we're going to come in a moment. Hang on, it's not clicking. Oh, hang on, there we go. There you go, and that was another significant. They're in ascending order, as you can see. And, you know, another moment in my life when our kids were born and started to grow, and significant times that we remember and have changed our life, actually, haven't they? Changed our lives. So we're coming this morning to communion. And you know what, kids? Communion, you look at this and you think, what's all that about? It's a picture. It's a photograph with the bread and the wine. And Jesus, when he was in that upper room just before he went to the cross, Jesus said, here, I'm going to give you a picture. And I want you never to forget me. Just as when you open those photo albums, you remember people that matter to you and moments that matter to you in your life. Well, Jesus says, here's my photo album. I want you to remember me. I want you to remember how I've changed you. I want you to remember what I've done for you. I want to remember the friendship we have. I want you to remember what I've given up for you. I want you to remember. And we're going to do that together as a whole family this morning before the kids go out. And we're going to do things a little bit differently. What we're going to do, on the table there's bread and wine. The wine is non-alcoholic. The bread is gluten-free, so anybody can take this morning if you've got any allergies or anything like that. You can all take and partake. But there's also some grapes on the table as well. And kids, if you don't know about communion, you've never really worked out, what is this bread and wine thing? Well, you can join with Mum and Dad. Come up and maybe just take a grape, because maybe you're not quite ready to remember what we're talking about here, about Jesus, that he is your Saviour and Lord. I don't know. Talk to Mum and Dad. If Mum and Dad are happy and they know what you know and you do love the Lord, then you can take. But talk to Mum and Dad about that. But if you're not sure, kids, just come up and take a grape, take a few grapes, and just take a grape and ask Mum and Dad about what they're doing when they're taking the bread and the wine, and as they're remembering this picture of Jesus. So the whole family, we want to be part of this. And instead of serving you, we want you to serve one another. So in a moment when the music begins, we just want you to get up, take your time, you have plenty of time, work to one of the tables here, there, or over there by the piano. And just as you would serve each other in your seats as you pass the bread and the wine along, would you serve each other this morning? So come up and serve your family, and maybe even serve your spiritual family. It's up to you. If you feel awkward about that, that's okay. But do come up. And anybody who's unable to get to a table will serve you at the end. Just let us know, would you? That would be great. But we want to join as a family together and remember Jesus, this picture that he's left us, that brings back all sorts of feelings and memories in our lives. We're going to do that. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he'd given thanks for it, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said this, take this and eat it. This is my body. It's a picture of my body, broken for you. And in the same way, after supper, he took a cup of wine. And again, when he'd given thanks for it, he gave it to his disciples, his friends, and he said, take this and drink it. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Take it and drink it. And then he said this, and when you do, remember me. Remember me. We're going to take communion this morning. There's no formality about this. There wasn't on the night that Jesus did it. There was no script. They just shared. And we're going to do the same. And kids, you can be part of that as well as you come and take a grape. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we thank you for leaving us with a picture that reminds us, as so many pictures remind us, Thank you for the feelings it stirs up in our hearts. Thank you for that significant moment in our lives that we can remember when we accepted what you'd done for us. As we share, would you remind us all over again? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please feel free to move when you're ready. There's some words on the screen which are quite beautiful words as well. You can use those to help you worship as you're receiving communion. Share, serve one another, and let's share together.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of a bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one.
just check. Was anybody unable to get to a table? Does anybody need serving? Just let me know if you were unable to do that and you need serving, and we'd gladly do that for you. Okay, bless you. Let's remember, shall we? Let's sing these words and remember not only what Jesus did, but the difference it makes today and the difference it makes tomorrow. Let's stand, shall we, and sing, "There is a Redeemer." Thank you that we've been able to share a meal with our Heavenly Father today as a family. Thank you that together we can share with you, sit around a table with you, and we can remember. Lord, may we never forget. May we never forget you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. We're going to take up an offering now. It's another way that you can worship God, isn't it? All sorts of ways you can worship God. Let's take up an offering in thanks to Him. Bill. Thank you. Let's give thanks. But Father, for all your blessings to us, for the beauty around us, for the weather, Lord, for our families, for the ability to worship together in this place, but most of all for Jesus, we thank you. Your children say thank you to their Heavenly Father and accept this as a token of our love and our thanks. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 There's a lot of things going on in the near future, and particularly hot on the heels of the summer holidays. So we're sort of advertising things now, just so you know what's going on, because you might need to do something before you head off on holiday. And there are all sorts of things. There's stuff rolling on the screen. Let me tell you about one thing. We've changed the program in the next few weeks. St. Nicholas are running a commemorative service for World War One. It's 100 years since World War One this year. And they're running a special service, and they've asked us if we want to join them. That's on the 3rd of August. So not next week, not the 27th next week, but the week after. So in 2 Sundays' time, we're going to be joining with St. Nicholas at the church there at 10:30. So there'll be no service here at Godstone Baptist. We will be joining with St. Nicholas and commemorating with them 100 years since the Great War. So trust you'll be able to join us then. There's a notice about church cleaning floating around somewhere. Oh, look, there you go. Keep going. Click, click, click. Mad click. Oh, there you go. And on Wednesday at our church meeting, we mentioned that a number of our cleaners have moved on to other things. They've got jobs or they've moved away. And they loved cleaning. There was the one tension, really. They wanted to stay and clean. I'm lying. No, but... but they've all moved away and got jobs and all sorts of stuff. So we've lost 3 out of our 4 cleaners. We're ever so grateful to Chris, who still handles Monday. But on Friday, we need some cleaners. And either on a volunteer or a paid basis. So some folks might want a little bit of income, a part-time job, just for a couple of hours a week. Two and a half hours a week, roughly. And that will start in September. Applications to Amanda. The deadline will be the end of this month. So you've got about... 10 days. 10 days to let Amanda know if you would like to do that job. Volunteer or paid. Up to you. We'll leave that in your court. Okay. Chairs. Just to let you know, on Wednesday, the church, we asked the church, what do you want? What's your preference? Because we think Jesus doesn't really mind which way the chairs are pointing. We're pretty sure he doesn't care. But you might, and we asked the church what you wanted to do about that. And the church said, predominantly, majority, that we want to keep it this way. Now, obviously, we're going to try and make every effort to alleviate any difficulties. Whichever way we have it, we got problems. But if we have it this way, we want to deal with any difficulties. One of those ways is we got a little word sheet in the foyer there. So if you can't see a screen or you're having difficulty with that, the words will now be on a little sheet in large print. So if you need that, use that. And obviously, if you have any difficulties, do let us know. We were only made aware of some difficulties on Wednesday, which is odd because it's been 2 months, but nobody mentioned anything. So we really want to know if you've got any difficulties, and we can then work into that and try and make it work for everybody, okay? So that would be great. Just let us know. Advise one of the leaders if you have any difficulties with the setup. Some pastoral news. Anne Todd now has an operation. As you know, Anne has a colloid cyst right very deep inside her brain. That cyst, now the consultants say, needs removing. Now, obviously, that's a major operation. And believe it or not, they're now going to operate on the 24th, in 4 days' time, they're going to operate on Anne. We want you to be praying for that family. If you want to write them a note, I'm sure they would love that. Obviously, don't make too much fuss, because that can be overwhelming. But also, you know, maybe write a note if you know the Todds really well. But hold them up in prayer, please, particularly Anne and the family. Sam says hello. Sam had touched down in Durban last week, and thank you for your prayers and your support. So far he's done a children's camp, he's done a sports day, he's been volunteering on Mandela Day, which is an annual day of community service. He's been doing all those sort of things. Yesterday he had a day off and he went to Nando's. There you go. They've even got Nando's in South Africa. There you go. He said it's really cheap as well, which is great. So thank you. Keep praying for Sam. That'd be great. I know Adrienne is heading off in the near future, aren't you, to Peru? September. Adrienne is heading off to Peru to help out the Williams as they finalise their ministry over there. And be praying for Adrienne as she gets ready for that. Now she's a retired lady. There you go. Pray for her in all that transition, and she seeks to serve God abroad as well in the near future. Upcoming events, I think there are a few on there. Are there any on the old screen? The obvious one that's coming up, not that, that's not an event, obviously. Unless you count cleaning as an event, I don't. There you go. There's the Godstone Fete coming up in the near future. Don't forget that. Again, if you can help with that, please talk to Amanda. That would be wonderful. It's Godstone Fete. There's also the John Archer event coming up. Oh, it's a song. There you go. There's a John Archer event coming up on the 6th of September. Please be approaching and booking and all the rest now. Because summer, you're going to have a job catching people and then it will be too late. You'll have a week left. So do that now before the summer break if you're going to invite somebody. That would be a really good idea, okay? So we really want to encourage you to come along. It would be a brilliant evening. Off the back of that, we're going to be running a thing called Alpha, which the church has run in the past before. There you go. And that's on the 8th of October. If you think you can help us with some catering for that, if you think you can help us in any way, either as a small group discussion leader or in any way, just let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We've already got some folks who are interested in helping run Alpha. So it's a great opportunity just to share your faith with people. And it's an exciting time discussing the Lord with people who don't know him. It's a great ministry. So encourage you to be involved with that. There's some others on there. What's next on there? Keep going. There's an event going on in September, early September 14th. International Needs. The director of International Needs in Nepal will be here on a Sunday afternoon. Put that in your diary. That's the 14th of September. There'll be a high tea. And we'll be meeting here. There's also a retreat day coming up on Friday. There's a lot happening at the beginning of September. So just make note. We'll try and keep it all in the bulletin, but make note of all those things before the summer break. So you can book them in your diary and make sure you don't miss anything. That would be great. Okay, I think there's one other notice, which is Sniff.
Yeah, Sniff, last one tonight, who is Sniff? Who's actually here, but it's the last one of the year. So be there, our house, normal time. And Lou and I are going on Tuesday night with a couple of others to Josh's Curry Night over in Benfleet, in Essex. That's Josh Rouse. He's raising money for his for next year and sort of making people aware of what he's up to. If you want to live,
brilliant. Thank you, Ben. Great. Okay, young people, we'll see you later. As you head off to your groups, have a great time as you remember Jesus and as you learn a bit more about him. Have a good time. Give me some more. Somebody's hungry. Did he have any breakfast, Sarah? Just check it. Great. Well done. Okay. There they go. There's one toddling out even as we speak. Literally toddling. That's not, obviously not Lou I'm referring to. There you go. Sorry. As you were. Amen. Okay, one thing we're going to do this morning, it's an action-packed morning. You'll never remember all this stuff. There's all sorts of things going on, which is great. There's some really good things happening. One of the things we talked about on Wednesday was the vision process. And hopefully, as you came in, you got a little leaflet, which is really only part of the vision, but that's just about the vision box. Remember we had the box and we said, put in there what you think God is saying about what we should do or what we should be as a church. What we should do is our vision. What we should be is our values. What sort of church we need to be. And thank you to all the people who put something in there, because it was really exciting to leaf through that. And I found all sorts of gold in there, really. It was really encouraging to me. And forms part of just probably about a fifth of all the different elements that we're putting together to think and pray through the vision as leaders. So thank you for that. And in a moment, we're just going to talk about that and give you a chance to have a brief moment today, because I know what it's like. You leave church and you go home and you put it to one side and you never get around to seeing it. I do that. I do that with a notice sheet every week. I'm terrible. So we're going to give you a chance to read it a little bit in a moment. One of the things that really encouraged me about it was a sense of mission. The majority of the things that were in that box said, we want to reach people for Christ in all sorts of different ways, but we want to do that. That was so encouraging to me as the pastor, and to Martin, I know, who mentioned it too. It really encouraged us. We're going to sing a song before we look at that, and let's sing this song, which is all about God's mission in this world. Shall we stand together?
Are slaves.
It's good to know, isn't it? One day our great commission will be complete. That there is only a short time to reach people in the name of Jesus. Maybe you'd like to sit down for a moment, and I'm just going to encourage you now to start thinking about that and think about our mission, our vision, our values, and maybe use what we've produced. What you've got in front of you is really some little excerpts and a flavour of what was in the box. It's not all of it. And if you want more detailed description of virtually everything that was in the box, out on the table out there, there are some paper copies of the two reports, one from the church team and one from the leadership team, as they opened the box and as they looked at the same thing. So there are 10 copies out there in paper. If you want one, probably the easiest thing is to email me. But if you haven't got email, there are 10 copies out there in paper form. What we'd like you to do is just gather up together in groups of, and we're not really worried, to be honest, but obviously enough so folks can talk to each other. But maybe if you'd like to spend 10 minutes together in a group of about 5 or 6, something like that, maybe turn round to a little group around you and just read through some of this. What I suggest you do is you just pick one of the three subheadings. There's one called clearing, there's one called culture, and there's one called calling. Some of you did this on Wednesday, but it's a chance for you to do it again with a different bunch of people. Clearing, culture, or calling. Just pick one of those for this morning. Take it home and read the rest later. And what you might want to talk about are some of the reflections on there. For instance, at the end of each of those sections, there are some questions like, for instance, let me give you one of those. At the end of the bit on culture, when we talk about culture on page 2, it says this poses a challenge to us all in bold. And it talks about how we might need to change in order to be a place where the broken and those with serious emotional or financial or physical problems might be able to come. And are we ready to help them? And do we need to prepare ourselves if we're not? So it's about those sort of things. And maybe you'd like to talk about some of those sort of questions and challenges that are mentioned at the back of each of those sections. They'd be quite interesting to answer together. And but get one in your group maybe to read through a little bit of the section and then talk about it. Don't panic that you have to do everything and understand everything at this stage. Just get into it and start getting into it this morning. Okay, off you go. You've got 10 minutes. Have fun. Get together with a bunch of people. Introduce yourselves if you don't know each other. And start talking about some of that. If you're just visiting the fellowship, don't panic. Just listen in. You feel free to contribute if you know what people are talking about. Maneuvering. Right. Where's Mum? Gone to the loo. Yeah. You got all the deacons in the same group, you look. Malcolm, is that on?
Yes, it is on.
Okay, folks. Before we come to God's word, we're going to sing a song that is really a prayer that God would help us with our vision. Just as you wind up your conversations, let's stand and let's sing together.
I would suggest that if you are going to follow along in your Bible today, you have a look, you have the Bible open at Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll be using a bit of a wider passage than maybe printed on the front of the bulletin. I'm going to kind of dip in and out, but from around about verse 25 and verse 17, probably touching on as well. So it's interesting, isn't it? Building bridges with our words. I mean, we've been talking about how we improve our relationships and how we make things better. And I have to say, there's a heck of a lot that comes to mind when I was preaching this sermon. An awful lot about what happens in our relationships with each other, in our relationships with those people particularly who are close to us. And because I'm running the marriage course at the moment, then, of course, what happens and how we relate to our husbands and wives was quite a prominent thought for me as I was going through this. How we treat each other in church, that was obviously very important. And how we treat each other outside of church, not the people here, but how we relate to people outside of church. And also what we say about church when we're talking to people who aren't in church. I think those are all really good and important points. I'm going to try and touch as much as I can on each of those today within the time available to me. So, first slide. I've got a fantastic slide for you today. Do you know what? I think for the interest of kind of keeping things in a good thing, we're going to go to the second slide, which is very similar. I've picked today for you the King of the ex-cabinet catwalk. Okay? Here is William Hague. And here you can see him keeping it simple in a navy suit, flashing a little rugged hand, the sunlight glistening on the dewy skin of his daringly nude scalp. But is that slim-cut leg really appropriate for the workplace, Mr. Hague? We can practically see the outline of your knee. These trousers are simply too sexy for a serious cabinet operator. You might think that's a bit of a crazy thing for me to say. And actually, I'll be honest with you, those aren't my words. Those are the words that I've taken from the New Statesman earlier this week, an article in the New Statesman. And you might think that seems really ridiculous. Why have I bothered doing that? Well, I'll show you what the Daily Mail wrote about some of the new female MPs. I'm just going to pick one. We'll use the one at the top, Penny Mordaunt. The Minister for Planning and Coastal Communities was alone in braving the no jacket look. After all, she was brave enough to appear on TV in a swimsuit on Splash. This rather tight, bright purple dress, £115 Viola by L.K. Bennett, makes the most of 41-year-old Miss Mordaunt's figure. If you think I'm being silly by showing you and talking about William Hague in that way, then I would suggest that we need to take a long, hard look at what our media, and particularly our tabloid press, says about women, okay, and the way they present them to you. The words we use are important. And sometimes it's really obvious that we're using really bad words. Okay? And sometimes it's a bit more subtle. And sometimes the words we use can be really, really painfully inappropriate. Okay? If we're judging somebody on only that and that alone, and that's the way the Daily Mail chose to present all of the new female politicians this week. Okay, now you can criticise the Daily Mail as much as you like. I do all the time. But actually, it is serious. Wouldn't it be far, far better if instead of that, we'd chosen to say something like this about Penny Mordaunt? If we'd chosen to point out that actually her mother died when she was 15 and she became the carer for her younger brother. That she paid her own way through college by being a magician's assistant. That while she was working in hospitals in Romania, that actually she came and to have a deep love and interest for politics. When we only seek to see women through the lens of what they wear and how they appear, all we do is objectify them. All we do is say, this is how we should be judging people. And you might think that I'm being overdramatic, and you might think that I'm taking this a bit too far, but I think that that's part, our reaction, our natural, oh, you're just being a bit silly, Martin, you're taking this a bit too far, it's fine, it's okay, it's good for women to take care of how they look. Okay? But actually, the point that I was making with that William Hague slide is that we don't judge male politicians in that way. And we shouldn't judge anybody in that way, solely on the appearance of how they look. And it becomes so endemic and so part of our culture that we're able to say, he's just taking it a bit too far, when actually I'm not. I don't think I am. So please, sometimes the words we use are really obviously bad. And sometimes it's a lot more subtle that what we're saying has a negative impact on other people and on our society and on the way we view one another. So our words can undermine, and tell you what, here we are, while I'm talking about the next bit, you can see where I'm going to fit that in as a sermon illustration. Okay? Right. Wouldn't it be better for our words to be honest, for our words to be encouraging, for our words to be affirming, to build one another up? They can undermine and they can set up and support painfully unhelpful structures like I was talking about there. Sometimes what we say is ungodly in a subtle manner. And sometimes what we say is more obviously ungodly. Ephesians 4:25, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbours the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Lies, when we tell them to one another, undermine the very fabric of our relationships. It undermines what we're doing and with one another. And you know, people do lie in church. People do lie about what they've been doing. People do lie about what they happened and how they behaved and reacted to one another. I've seen it, and I'm really sorry. I've seen it in this church as well. I'm not holding myself up as a paragon of virtue. I want you to understand this in all I'm saying today. This sermon makes me painfully aware of my own faults. But when we lie to one another, it becomes a little bit like what happens in rheumatoid arthritis. Here's a joint. Doesn't really matter what joint it is. Here are two bones. And between the bones, in the white area, sorry, in the kind of grey outline of the black line here, is what's called the cartilage. So kind of squishy tissue. Most of you will know a little bit like what cartilage is made of. You can feel it in your nose. Right? It's hard, but kind of soft enough. It's not as hard as a bone. It's not as squishy as normal, just general tissue. Between the cartilage is something called synovial fluid. And this synovial fluid is kind of the grease between the cartilage and the bones that keeps it moving freely. Now, your body, when it suffers from disease, develops antibodies to attack the disease. Okay? So that's how your body fights off diseases. It produces the antibodies to attack the cells that are damaging your body in some way or another, whatever kind of problem it is. Some diseases are autoimmune diseases, and they don't know why it happens, but what happens is your body starts to attack, it produces antibodies that attack the tissues in your body that are doing good. So, for instance, the synovial fluid, that grease between the bones, is produced by this synovium, okay? A kind of casing around the joint, that black line there. And in rheumatoid arthritis, your body produces antibodies to attack the synovium. So it doesn't produce the synovial fluid, and your joints and the movement of that joint becomes stiffer because there's not enough grease to work on it. Your body starts attacking itself. Stop telling lies. Let's tell our neighbours the truth. We are all parts of the same body. And when we start telling lies, we're attacking our own body, the body of the church. And when we do that, things become harder. Things don't move as smoothly. It's not so easy to get out, to go around, to do the things that we want to do in order to bring God's word to other people. It becomes harder to present ourselves as a working body when we're attacking each other. That's why I've used that example. So, don't lie. Don't use unhelpful phrases or speak ill of others, because it's not just about lying. Sometimes it's about the words we use without really thinking of it. The words we use to describe other people, like I was talking about earlier. What words might you have used to talk about other members of the church this week? What words might have you have said that actually are really unhelpful and damaging and painful to those people that you'd never dream of saying to their faces, but for some reason, because they're not here and we think we want to raise the concern, it's okay to say it. What words have you been saying? Don't argue. Control your temper. So I was just trying to find where it was. 26, there we are. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. We looked 2 weeks ago at handling conflict in a constructive manner in your marriage on our marriage course. Okay? And we spoke about something that's called the 10 o'clock rule. This is a good model for any relationship you're in. Okay? Doesn't need to be in your marriage. And I'm going to bring a little bit of our teaching from the marriage course into our sermon today because it's actually really helpful. What can you do? Well, you're angry, there's conflict. How do you control stuff? What do you do about it? You can introduce a 10 o'clock rule. The 10 o'clock rule works like this. Arguments usually happen, or most often are likely to happen, later at night when people are getting tired, running out of steam, and actually, rather than being able to handle stuff constructively, you haven't got the energy to do that, and you end up arguing with one another. The 10 o'clock rule says any partner, anybody in this involved in this argument, can at any point say, I'm calling into play the 10 o'clock rule, and this is not a good time to talk about this. We need to fix a better time. Okay? And when that happens, you're not saying we're not going to talk about this, because obviously it's causing conflict. You need to deal with it. You've got to sort it out. Okay? But you're just saying, this is not the best time to be talking about this. So what you do is, as part of the 10 o'clock rule, I think it's a really good idea, is at that point, if you both say, okay, there's the 10 o'clock rule, we're not going to talk about this now, when are we going to talk about it? And fix a time. Because if you come in to a time where you know you're going to talk about this difficult situation, you're prepared for it, mentally prepared for it, ready and able to hand to it. And I would say do it within the week. Do it at the weekend. The next available weekend is a good time to do it. So, that's the 10 o'clock rule. And with the 10 o'clock rule, it's important to say that actually you might have already said stuff that's hurt the other person. You might have already said stuff that actually you need to say sorry for and there needs to be forgiveness for. And just say, okay, at the moment, we're not agreeing about this. Let's hold it and let's try and find a new way forward for us a bit later. That's a good way to deal with arguments, especially if they're happening late at night. It doesn't have to be at 10 past 10. You might be having an argument at 8 o'clock in the evening, but you still think, do you know what, I can't handle this right now. I'll call the 10 o'clock rule into play. Okay? So that's one piece of advice for you. Don't argue. And you might want to think about apologising. And in that way, we do manage to not letting the sun go down while we're angry. And we do manage to deprive the devil of that foothold in our lives. So that's another thing. So we've had don't lie. Don't argue. We've encouraged you to think more carefully about the way that you think about and talk about each other. And in verse 31, Ephesians 4:31, don't be bitter, don't be angry, don't use harsh words, don't slander. Get rid of all of that, as well as all types of evil behaviour. What should we do instead? Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Don't slander. Don't talk ill of one another. And we've talked about that within the context of being in the church. I want to bring to mind how we present ourselves as a body to people outside the church. How do we present what's going on in this church to those from outside? Because sometimes bad things happen in church and we get cross. We get angry about the kind of things that have happened. And they affect us deeply and personally. And we have a personal and honest emotional response. What we do with that is really important. And when we take that outside and we start talking to people who perhaps are outside the church and we start complaining about the way that we're being treated or about the decisions that are being made by the minister or the deacons or other people in the church, we do really bad things. We do really damage the way that we are viewed by other people. And you might say, well, I'm not sure Jesus cares how other people see us. Actually, I think Jesus really cares how other people see us. Yes, he wants us to be right inside, But if we're not outwardly showing the effects of what's going on inside us, then there's a discrepancy there. And there's something wrong between us believing what we believe and showing what we believe. You know, the church is often talked about as the bride of Christ. And we wouldn't talk badly of another man's bride. We wouldn't slander or say things about another man's bride in an ill way. And when we talk about actually how things are going and the way we're being treated badly or the way that we feel things have happened to other people who are outside the church, we're doing that. We're saying church, Jesus' bride, is no good. And we are imperfect, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. This bride will never be a perfect bride until we're all in heaven. But we need to emphasize what keeps us together. And we need to emphasize what is good. Because when we concentrate on what is bad, we breed division. Use your words and choose your words wisely. How do we do that? Well, do you know what it does say? It says the Spirit is going to help us. In verse 23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Why should we do this? Because actually, the way that other people behave, the Gentiles behave, is far from what we should be doing. And that isn't what we've learned about Jesus. When we heard about Jesus, this is verse 21, and we learned the truth that comes from him, we should be throwing off all our old sinful nature and our former way of life that's corrupted by lust and deception. And we should put on the new clothes of righteousness and holiness and behave in a way that speaks more honestly. Do you know what? If you don't feel like you're being treated well at church, please talk to the person who you think is treating you badly. Don't come full of accusation and malice and ready to have a go, but come and say, do you know what? I'm feeling left out. Do you know what? You hurt me when you said this. Do you know, I didn't like it when this happened. Because sometimes people don't realize that they're hurting one another. Nobody ever sets out, or it's very unusual for people to set out to deliberately destroy relationships, especially in church. It does happen, but usually it happens because people aren't concentrating and they're not paying enough thought to what's really happening and how they're affecting other people. So the Spirit will help us. It will help us to live differently. It will help us to enable us to let everything be, we say be good and helpful and encouraging to our loved ones, to our friends, to those outside the church, to our partner, to our spouse, to those within the church, to our children, to our ministers, to our deacons, to Anthony on the desk or to whoever. Okay, sorry Anthony, I'm only picking on you because I was looking for another servant of the church and you were there right in front of me. So say sorry. That might be part of using your words better, might be in being saying sorry, and say sorry well. A good apology doesn't include a but. This is something that's really happened to me a lot. I've said, oh, I'm sorry that we were late for that, but I had to get that finished. It's not actually much of an apology, because actually there's no room for a but in a sorry. You're still making an excuse and you're trying to share the blame when you put a but in there. Acknowledge how the other person's felt. Take responsibility and move on. And if someone's saying sorry to you, maybe you need to forgive. And I think Phil's already spoken about this in this series, but that idea about forgiveness, it is a conscious decision. It is a choice. It is something that we can decide to do. We don't have to wait for the right feelings. And it's an ongoing process. Forgiveness is rarely a one-off thing. We can keep on forgiving over and over again. And sometimes we need to. Say a good sorry. forgive well. Let the Spirit help you. Let it renew your thoughts and attitudes. And if that means you need to get down on your knees and pray, then do so and ask him to help and ask him to change your thoughts. I've had to ask God to help me change my thoughts about people, specific people, and I've had to get down on my knees and say, do you know what? I keep thinking this thought about that person, and it's really, really bad of me to think that. And the only way I can change it is to get down and pray about it. Maybe you need to do that as well. Say a good sorry. Forgive well. Don't be angry. Control your temper. Don't lie. Don't attack the body. Don't speak ill of another man's bride. And above all, let the Spirit help. Jesus forgave us, and we should continue to forgive one another. I'm not going to talk about the passage in Matthew, only to say, read the whole passage, read chapter 15, verses 1 to 20, because it's about intentionality, and it's about not living by the law, and it's about being free and understanding that what comes out of your mouth has far more lasting effect than what we put in. Use your words and choose your words really wisely. And maybe today you need to go and see someone. Maybe there's something you want to say. Maybe it's something that's going to mean you need to pluck up your courage to do it. But do it, and do it today, because there's no time like the present. Shall we pray? I'm not going to end with a song today, so we'll say the grace in a moment, but let's pray. Lord, we don't always get it right. I know I've got it wrong, God. I know I've used words badly, and Lord, I get passionate about stuff and I say things without thinking. Lord, will you help us? I'm sorry, Lord, for the times when I've got it wrong. I'm sorry for the times when I've spoken out in front of other people, when I've seemed or been angry. Lord, will you fill our hearts with the love and the care and the thoughtfulness that comes with using words wisely? Will you help us recognize when we might be saying something that's inappropriate and we need to stop? Will you help us to take the breath that we need before we speak? And Lord, will you let the words we use be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and forgiving each other as God through Christ has forgiven us? And Lord, if there's somebody or something we need to say, give us the strength through your Holy Spirit to say that today. But don't let us wait for the right feeling. Let us be intentional and go and do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Should we end with the words, that unifying grace, the words that draw us together to Christ, and the words that draw us together to one another? And do use this opportunity to make eye contact with people around you, just as we say the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Do join us for tea and coffee in the back hall, and thank you all very much for staying today. Thank you. Just also ask you, this is a separate thing. Freddie's brought this to my attention. There's so much going on in the world at the moment that I know will be on your hearts. Please, will you pray for the families surrounding the Malaysian flight, MH17? Will you also consider all that's happening in Gaza and Palestine, and have a look at some information from different sources for that, okay? Try and get a rounded view of what's happening out there. It's really difficult, but have a look. And also, Christians in Iraq, as apparently there are no Christians left in Mosul, right, all fled. Christians in Middle East, lots of persecution, and I hear plenty of Muslims standing up and saying, do you know what? The people who are committing these acts don't speak for us. So please, look wisely and pray well, please. Thank you. Amen.